on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Welcome into another edition of YokeCast. It's great to have you alongside for this one, and this one is scheduled to be our final episode of 2020. But don't worry, we'll be back. We're just taking a couple of weeks out for the holidays, and then we'll be back in January. January 8th is our next scheduled episode after we get Summit League basketball underway. And by then, of course, we'll be gearing up more for football. We'll be gearing up for volleyball. It should be a lot of fun here in the spring, kind of late winter, spring months in the early part of 2021. Hopefully, fingers crossed, everything goes as planned. But you never know. Obviously, all we've done throughout this pandemic is change, and change, we've never liked change. Human elements, human people never like change, but you've had to adapt to it certainly during the pandemic. But regardless, we are going to press on, and we'll be back with another episode on January 8th, and I'll look forward to that and look forward to seeing fans at games and all of that stuff, and hopefully we can continue to increase capacities as we go through into the football season. But we'll have to see how it all goes. Obviously, there has been a disappointment with, you know, a struggle with the pandemic here recently and the number of infections of COVID-19. But there's a vaccine, and I know not everybody is all on board with the whole vaccine thing, but as soon as it's available for many of us, I'll be in line as quickly as we possibly can and try to continue to do whatever parts we can to put this pandemic behind us and move forward. And I know it's still going to take time, but willing to take those chances and just try to speed up the timeline as much as we possibly can. And, you know, that takes me into this being our last episode of 2020. Unless, of course, things change, which you never know, but it's planned to be our last episode of this part of the year. And we head into the holidays. You know, Christmas is next week, and then New Year's will be on the other side of it. And, you know, as we get into all of that, I hope that the holidays find you and your family extremely well. Whether you're able to visit family and do it in a safe manner, or whether you choose not to visit family because of the challenges that have already you know, surfaced for us and that we've already dealt with. I mean, everybody has to make the best decision for them, but I hope you can find a way, whether it's even if it's seeing part of your family and not the entire family that you normally would, make the most of it, because I think we all need a little bit more Christmas cheer this year than what we've dealt with. And I'm excited because as we've gone through the basketball season and we've got this basketball season started, sure, there's been some challenges. There's no doubt about it. But it's getting us closer to the spring, and I'm really excited for what football can bring to us in the spring and just, you know, bring that excitement. And we'll see volleyball. I mean, we got a heck of a volleyball team at USD. The basketball teams will continue to have their success, and we look forward to all of that. I'm just really excited for it, and I hope you make the most of the holidays the best that you can, and we'll get back at it with USD Athletics and all that good stuff coming up here in a couple of weeks. Summit League play will be back and raring to go before we're even probably ready for it. But as soon as New Year's Day hits, the very next day, Denver at the Sanford Coyote Sports Center for a back-to-back day deal where we'll play Saturday, Sunday. And I hope if you're a season ticket holder, you keep showing up and giving these teams all the support that you can. And I hope that if you are not a season ticket holder, I hope for you that at some point we'll have single game tickets coming up as soon as possible. And they can continue to increase some of those fan limits, because I'm telling you, from the coaches, the players, the administration, everybody wants to have fans in the building. I can't even explain to you how weird it has been watching the Coyote men's basketball team play in empty arenas. Empty arenas at Bramlage Coliseum at Kansas State, an empty arena at Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln, Nebraska, an empty Sanford Pentagon for the Dakota Showcase. All venues that would have had a fair amount of fans in them had fans been allowed, and we just need to have that back. We need it for all of us. We need it for the student athletes and what energizes them and what they play for. We need it for the coaches, the energy that it brings for them as well. We need it for you, the fans, because the fans, I know, have missed it dearly. And I know the fans will be ready as soon as a lot of these restrictions are lifted. And some people will come back slowly, and I understand that. Due to the pandemic, it's not a light switch. It's not just going to turn off, and we're going to be able to go full bore straight into things. But we can all continue to do our part, and hopefully we'll see this thing behind us before we know it. And would love to see more and more fans get the opportunity to come to games. But regardless, there are almost always a viewing option, whether it's online, whether it's on Midco, another TV network, whatever it may be. There's always a listening option with the Coyote Sports Network, and so many of us are glad to bring the game to you if you can't be there, no doubt about it. Great to have you alongside for this episode. Coming up in the show today, we're going to talk to Carly Herring. She is a sophomore high jumper from Mitchell, South Dakota. We'll talk to her about her mark that she set earlier this month and what it means to her, and then, kind of what she's in school for. And coming up right now, we'll get it started with the athletic director at the University of South Dakota, David Herbster. David, it's crazy. You know, we kept talking about when will sports events start again for us, and they did, and now we're about to that Christmas break. It just seems like the first part of the non-conference season has flown by, albeit less games, but it has gone by very, very quickly, and it's fun to just have games again and see these teams back on the floor.
It is, and just starting on, I think, what was it, November 25th is when we were able to start playing games, and really having virtually almost – well, the majority of our games not at home has been extremely unusual right now. But to realize that we're closing in on our last few games before, the Christmas, and before you know it, I mean, our conference season starts January 2nd and 3rd. And we were talking about it earlier today, because not only does that roll around, and you have the breaks in there and where between Christmas and New Year's and all of that. I know the university's closed for 4 of the 5 days in between Christmas and New Year's, but we'll have basketballs back here practicing and getting ready for games. And really the week after that first week in January, we host the farm show. So really quickly, for going so long without games, it's going to hit us hard real quick in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. It'll get busy in a hurry, but busy's good compared to what we had at the start of the fall season and right. All of that, no doubt about it. David, one of the events we talked about and just had, the Dakota Showcase in the Sanford Pentagon with USD, SDSU, North Dakota State, and North Dakota. Obviously, the men's teams played 3 games in 3 days on a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Overall, I know that you were there. What did you think about the event? Obviously, we missed the fans in that event, but what did you think of the event and just kind of how it played out and how it went?
Sanford and the folks at the Pentagon did an unbelievable job pulling that thing together. Paul Seville and Jesse Smith and all of their staff just made it a first-class event. And that's, it's at a first-class event without fans there. It was very odd, but it was very, again, it's, as odd as it was so unique to have those four schools come together. And as the coaches came together was the genesis of that whole concept and idea. And really, I know we talked about it before, how difficult it's been to find games. And so overall, I thought it went well. I thought, okay, and if I look at USD and how did we play, the first 2 games, I do feel like we could have won those first 2 games, but you have to shoot well all game long. You can't hit those stretches where you can't go 3 to 5 minutes without scoring, because teams like North Dakota and North Dakota State are going to capitalize on that and take advantage of you. And then, we came out against South Dakota State, and I think we really hit our groove, and we were in that groove all game long, and that's hence the big victory on that last one.
It's one thing to see great performances, and we always see great performances, but Stanley Amude was on another level in that game against South Dakota State. 41 points and 11 rebounds. It felt like the only defense South Dakota State had against him was not allowing him to get the basketball, and that didn't work very often.
No, you're right, and it's good for Stanley. He was kind of a little bit up and down the first 2 games, and still played well, no doubt about it. But when you get in that zone, and as a former basketball player, I take that back. As a basketball player, I don't think you're ever not a basketball player. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's fair.
unless you see me play lately. So
it never comes out of you, though.
It doesn't. But when you're in that zone, and what I appreciate about Stanley is, yeah, there were some layups. There's a dunk in there, but they're 8-footers, 15-footers, 20-footers, 3-pointers. I mean, he was all over the place hitting shots. And for the most part, you know, you look at all those shots, they're all in the rhythm of the offense. And then, you know, the teammates, they recognize that as well. You're kind of feeding the beast. It's a fun sight to see someone like that in a zone making those types of shots. Because that rim is 10 feet wide. And you have to appreciate those, because we've all been through those times when that it feels like you're trying to shoot into a thimble. But it was a special thing to see, no doubt.
Yeah, it was amazing. I thought the most amazing thing, they defended him very, very well at times, and he just shot it right over the defender. So that was pretty special. You know, we've already had one men's game canceled because of COVID issues, and we've had one this week postponed because of COVID issues. This one, though, a home game, and so I'm sure you were quite a bit involved in the direction to go about this, and obviously got postponed 2 days. Now the game is on. Kind of describe the process that you go through in this COVID world when we're dealing with a potential cancellation postponement.
So we had a positive test on Monday, and so now all the wheels start to go in motion, right? So once that positive test happened, one of the antigen tests. So then we went over to Sanford and got a PCR test, but that we were going to have to wait on to get the results from that. In the meantime, I had a conversation with the AD at Drake, let them know what the process that we were in. So we understood where we were at, what our timeline was, and that we were getting a retest. But we also realized at that point in time, I wouldn't have the answer back on that retest by the time before they would need to leave to come here. And so we made the decision to postpone it. And I said, once we get to that point, and once we get the test back, let's have that next conversation, and leaving the door open. In the meantime, we were beginning to look at what other options could we undertake if that second test, the PCR test, came back negative.
And so a lot of it is a simple courtesy to that that other team, so that they don't spend time driving, especially in a world where you and I've talked about everybody right now dealing with budget crunches.
Right. And so I certainly didn't want, you know, he had said that, hey, you know, do you want me to, we could probably drive there and just get there and see. You know, I said, no, I'm not going to have you come here on a maybe we'll play or maybe we won't play. So also realizing that in the meantime of all this, now they're going to go try to find another game because they don't know for sure. So this game, even though that second test came back negative, there's a chance that we still wouldn't have played the game if they could have found somebody else to play. So again, there's a little bit of a risk there because you really don't know what's going to happen. So in our conversations with the AD, it was, okay, depending on when this comes back, should we go Thursday or should we go Friday? Well, just if you have a game on the schedule and it's set for a long period of time, you've got your workers, everything is in place. What we realized is that some of our key workers for the game, and they, you know, whether they be your scorebook, your shot clock operator, some of those individuals, we couldn't get them here for a Thursday game. They had other commitments. So then we had to start looking at Friday and piece that together, as well as stay in contact with our assigner of officials to find out, can we even get an officiating crew for Thursday or Friday? We realized real quickly Thursday was just going to be off the table. So then we were working on trying to put everything together on Friday. We got notice actually. Oh, shoot, John, I believe it was Wednesday morning is when the test came back negative. And then in consultation with our team doctor and our trainers, everybody got the green light, because it was a positive test, but we also, from a quarantine, we had other people affected. And so there was a challenge of knowing that was the case, but then realized we had to clear everybody, get them back, and then work with Drake to see, would they still be able to come here? And that's how we ended up on Friday, But the 5 o'clock time Friday was really an effort to get Drake home sooner that night, because they turn around and have a game early on Sunday. So it was just a matter of trying to go back and forth, and what are your needs, what are our needs, and it's a little bit of a negotiation. Some of the stuff is, this is all we had to work with. And there we go. Easy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a lot. Obviously, there's a lot of wheels turning in this. So when that positive antigen test comes back, and now you have to wait on a PCR test, do you advise the teams to not practice, so not hold meetings, things like that, because of the potential positive, or how do you go about that process?
Sure. The first thing that we do after a positive test is we start the contact tracing. And that can be the factor of looking at practice film, game film, where were people sitting on a bench? What have we done? You know, we worked really hard to keep everybody masked up and trying to minimize exposure and risk as much as we can. So the first thing we do is we say, okay, contact trace, who's in, who's out. And really at that point, you have to look at, okay, do we even have enough to practice? But again, when you have the players out that we did, you practice is different. So you don't get maybe the full benefit of a practice as you would if you had everybody there. So no, we did the contact tracing. We still practiced. We took Tuesday off, and then realized in Wednesday morning when we found out that it was negative, and we practiced Wednesday and Thursday, getting ready for the game on Friday.
Well, obviously a lot of things go into it, and we're excited to see a home game for the Coyote men's basketball team. They obviously have spent time away from home up to this point in the season. All right, David, let's get to Ask the AD. We got some questions here, and we're going to start with one that I know we've discussed, and I guarantee you it will not be the last time I ask you this question. But is there a chance USD will get baseball?
I would probably say no. And maybe there's a caveat to that, right? Right now, it doesn't fit, A, financially for us. B, it doesn't fit within our Title IX gender equity kind of plan. But I think that gender equity plan is something that we're constantly, you know, evaluating. But right now, we're trying to do everything we can just to fund the sports that we currently have at a championship level. And so I never say never, but I would say that would be it would be a very difficult kind of scenario to put all the pieces in place to bring baseball back.
This one regarding Coach Don Plitzewide. Did you take Coach P to the woodshed for slamming the table at the Lipscomb game?
Okay, first, I didn't see that happen. I didn't realize that she had done that. We were doing a lot of things in and around that game, trying to just, you know, checking on and trying to see how everything was working. Actually, what I probably would have done is made sure the table was okay first. You know, I'm not getting in her way.
No, because Coach P's intense, so I appreciate that response.
Well, I'm glad she took it out on the table and not a clipboard. Those things are flimsy. We could have pieces flying all over the place. No, I did not take it to the Winchell account.
Oh, man. I like this one here. When will Mr. Herbster start his Cameo account so we can send Christmas cheer to Yotes fans around the nation via Herbigrams?
Huh, Herbigrams. I kind of like that sounds kind of neat, but I need to go look up what the heck a Cameo account is. I think that sounds like a project for Kelsey and Jaron in our marketing office. I'm going to pull in Brian Betcher and Brittany and Caleb on our sports info side. They can come up with some pretty creative stuff, but they got to tell me what a Cameo account is first. And then I got to figure out how we trademark that Herbigram.
You know, when I read that part, the Herbigram, all I could think of is the movie Elf, the Christmas movie, where he says, "What's a Christmas gram? I want one." Thinks it's food, thinks it's candy.
Exactly. Put a little syrup, a little sugar on there. That'd be nice.
Oh, man. With the extra year of eligibility and one-time transfer rule, student athletes have more mobility. Will that be a plus or a minus for USD?
Yes. You know, long story short, think about this. The one-time transfer rule, right now that affects, for us, men's basketball, women's basketball, and football. Everybody else you can transfer right away. So hence we got Sammy Slaughter from Nebraska. She can play right away. Now, it's when you lose somebody that it hurts you. But I think we've seen that it's got its benefits too. I think you'll see cases on both sides where there's going to be times where it's going to be a huge benefit to us. But then at the same time, you can lose your player of the year real quickly if one of the Power Fives just kind of snag him or her.
Yep, no doubt about it. It certainly can be interesting. So if that one-time transfer rule becomes permanent, does the Summit League or the Missouri Valley Football Conference have restrictions on transfers within the conference?
Well, we currently do, where you'd have to sit out a year. And we're going to have to revisit that and determine, are we going to still try to enforce a one-year kind of in residency before you can participate just from conference school to conference school? The NCAA legislation would allow for that. Or do we just open it up and go right away? And, you know, we've always talked about you want to keep the collegiality within the conference and not feel like someone's poaching someone else's players. And that's why, you know, like in football or basketball, that's why those rules are in place. So I think that once, because I honestly, John, it will pass. I don't see it not passing. And from that is trying to determine what kind of guardrails we set up within the conference. And those questions we'll have after the first of the year, because then that would not take effect until the following academic term.
Yep, no doubt. And, you know, I've asked some coaches about that, and some coaches believe they'll have to continue to recruit their own student athletes, and others say, you know what, if we develop the type of program we want here, then we're doing everything we can to keep those student athletes here. So I thought that was a really good response to that, that potential rule change.
Right. No, and I think our coaches, you know, hit the nail on the head. Yeah, you're going to have to do that. Is your culture good? Is your culture solid? And if it is, the culture itself keeps the players there. Now, you can't keep everybody happy all the time either. And people might transfer for maybe it's a financial reason. Maybe it's being closer to home. There might have been, you know, there's always can be other factors involved. So you also want to keep those options open and not really, you don't want to penalize the student athlete or put such restrictions on them that if there's personal things that happen, that it really hurts them from an athletic standpoint or a school standpoint.
All right, next week is the Christmas holiday. What are your favorite Christmas traditions?
Favorite Christmas traditions. You know what's an interesting one is, and it's ever since I was a little kid, and I think we did this because my dad always couldn't wait to open up presents, but we've always opened up one present on Christmas Eve and then the rest of the presents on Christmas Day. Never sure why we did that, but even to this day, that's kind of what we do. The other thing that's been nice is more so with my wife's side of the family is we do kind of a gift exchange. So all the, you know, the adults would, you know, you draw a name out of the hat and you do a gift exchange, and then all the kids would do the same. And so the challenge, though, this year, we'll actually be in Vermilion this year for Christmas. Just we're not going to travel, and it'll be, we haven't spent, maybe one year, I think we might have spent in Vermilion for Christmas. The rest of the time, we've typically gone to family for Christmas. So it's going to be nice to sleep in my own bed for a change and wake up in my own bed on Christmas morning.
There you go. Run down the stairs if you have the downstairs and see what Santa brought you. That'll be a good Christmas. All right, so speaking of Christmas, I think I know the answer to this, but what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, Elf. I got to go Elf, and then I'll go Christmas Vacation.
All right, I was going to guess Christmas Vacation, so I figured that was up there a little bit.
You nailed it.
All right. Well, David, thanks so much for the time. Great stuff. I hope you and your family have a great Christmas and New Year's, all that good stuff. And we'll chat with you in a couple of weeks after we get the conference season underway.
No, you bet. Yeah, it's always that kind of corny dad joke when they say, hey, I'll talk to you next year. But that is kind of when we're going to be on again, right, is next year. But certainly appreciate you and really – it's kind of that time to, you know, really cherish the time with family and appreciate that and those that are with you and those that can't be with you. And, you know, I hope it for everybody, and this always means a lot to everybody this time of year, but certainly I hope this one really does for everybody. It's been a challenging year. And I think we all need to kind of just sit back and kick our feet up, relax a little bit and just, you know, catch our breath. And certainly I'm going to try to do that, assuming we don't have any more cancellations or postponements or having to move games around.
No doubt about it. Thanks so much for the time. Very much appreciate it.
All right, take care, John.
He's David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. For the past decade, there's only been one place to watch your favorite coaches, players, and teams. That place is Midco Sports Network, celebrating 10 years of sports this season. This week, I had a chance to catch up with Carly Herring. She is a sophomore high jumper from Mitchell, South Dakota. Chose to go to USD despite some other offers that she had during the recruiting process, which we will talk about in this conversation. And in December 5th, she set a personal best mark, and it's actually second all time at USD. She has some high goals for herself, lofty goals in the high jump throughout the course of the season. So had a great conversation with Carly Herring about just the whole pandemic, her start to the season this year, and what her goals are as she continues to go through USD and beyond. Carly, it's great to chat with you. I know that obviously the athletic seasons, just the way that everything started up and all the training, it's all been different this year. Explain kind of from your perspective just how things have gone through the pandemic and trying to stay up with all the training that you guys are trying to do and just the challenges that you've dealt with.
Sure. So right kind of in the spring when we all got sent home, training was a little bit tough for me because I had an outdoor track at home, but the weather wasn't always great. I did get lucky with a few nice weeks, and I would just try to kind of keep up with what we would have been doing if we were on campus. Lifting was a challenge, though, because our rec center in town was closed due to COVID. So it transformed into a lot of body weight type of lifts. And then as the summer progressed, things kind of started opening up more, but it was wearing a mask while working out, which was a challenge within itself. But I really got used to that. And at the meet that we had, I actually jumped with my mask on just because that's how I've been practicing. And I like to compete how I practice. So I think it's just been a lot of staying focused with what the goal is, whether you know for sure if you get to compete or not. It's just a matter of knowing that if you do get the chance, you want to be ready.
You said you jumped with a mask on in Brookings, and a bunch of kids seem to be doing that as well. Do you think they're all the same mindset of you compete the way you practice, and if you're going to wear it in practice, then you just do it in the meet to, I guess, have that familiarity and same routine?
I think it could be that. For me, my first jump, it was just kind of a matter of forgetting to take it off because I forget that it's on sometimes. I'm so used to it. And then after that, I was like, well, I guess I'm doing well. I might as well keep it on. So it's probably different for everybody, but I kind of like the idea of doing things exactly how I do them in practice.
Well, regardless of a pandemic, the mask may have to stay because you jumped a personal best 5'10¾" at that meet in Brookings December 5th. The height won the dual meet. It currently leads the NCAA. What was that moment like for you to jump that personal best and set that mark?
It was super thrilling. Like, my teammates told me they wanted me to take my mask off so they could see the smile under it because they could tell how happy I was. But it kind of came as a surprise, but it also shows how hard work pays off. I did a lot of work over the summer and this fall and just trying to change my form and doing everything that Coach Huber's been working on with me even last year. And seeing that jump happen really showed that it all came together.
Obviously, goals are always to just continue to improve. And your mark is second in USD history behind a pretty darn good Division I All-American that we had here. Do you have your sights set on a school record potentially?
Yeah, for sure by the time I'm out of here. And I think I have enough time to hopefully do it. When I was getting recruited, I told Coach Huber, my goal is to jump 6 feet. And he was like, we can do that. And at first I kind of was like, this might be a little bit tricky. But after this last meet, I had nearly a 3.5-inch personal best. So I think if I can just keep improving from where I'm at, it's definitely in the future.
Your best height last year as a freshman was 5'7". Obviously, we didn't get the outdoor season for you to continue to improve that mark, but that's a significant improvement, over 3 inches from your best height last year. to your starting height, I guess, essentially this year in that first meet. When you look back at seeing that type of improvement, what do you attribute the increase and that success for?
You know, last year, I completely transformed the way that I run. Coach Huber helped me work on my mechanics, and it was very difficult last year, so I was actually thrilled to even jump 5'7". But this year when I came back, all of those things started becoming more natural. And I think it's just a matter of it all got easier for me, and now I can start working on the little things, and the big things are coming together.
How much different is the training, or at least the coaching, because of the knowledge perhaps, or the different level from high school to this level at the collegiate level?
I surprisingly found college to be easier, which probably isn't what you'd expect to hear, but we take a lot of recovery. A lot of our training involves recovery days. And there's times where I start to get tired and I think like, oh, now I'll start getting better, because that was my mindset in high school. But here it's maybe less reps, but the quality of the reps is what's important. And I think that's been very helpful for me.
Now that you're at USD, you can kind of evaluate where you're at and your choice to come to USD. But you also had other offers to other places, East Coast, I believe, and the Ivy League, some Power Five. What was your recruiting process like? And ultimately, what brought you to USD?
Sure. Yeah. So I took all five official visits that I was offered to take, and none of them were at USD. But I visited three Big Ten schools. I visited Princeton, and I took a trip out to Nevada. But ultimately, it came down to when I talked to Coach Huber, he gave me the confidence that I needed, and he made me feel certain that I would be able to reach my goals on the track as well as get into medical school here.
And medical school obviously is very important to you as a medical biology major. What do you want to do with that?
So I'm looking at family practice or internal medicine, but I plan on going to med school here at USD. And then I think I could change my mind when I start doing rotations, but for now I'm thinking more like general family practice.
So what's the process now as you're an undergraduate? What's the process for you to get into medical school?
I'm actually fortunate enough. I am a Sanford School of Medicine alumni student scholar, which basically means I've been conditionally accepted already. So to maintain that acceptance, I have to keep a 3.5 GPA and basically not get in trouble, which I don't foresee happening. So, and that actually makes it so that I don't have to take the MCAT as well. So that will be a big relief when it comes to that time. And hopefully I can spend a little bit more time focusing on track as well as maintaining my grades.
Yeah, that is huge. Congratulations on that. I know that's a big accomplishment for anyone. And now you just have to simply maintain it, they say, right? Don't get in trouble.
Right.
Keep your grades up, those easy things in life, and you'll be you'll be good to go. I'm curious, as we go back to the track thing, you know, we talked about the way the outdoor season got canceled last year. So December 5th, your first time competing in a meet since the Summit League Championships in February, probably the longest time off that you've really taken out of competition throughout athletics. What was that like to finally get back out there December 5th and just have the excitement of competition and a meet again?
It was great. I had a lot of fun, and the men jumped before the women. So I was kind of out there feeling like a little kid watching it happen again. And then they got done and I was like, okay, now it's my turn. So I honestly just felt like a giddy little kid. I was ready to go. I was kind of nervous, but I was more so just thankful to even get the opportunity.
One of your teammates, at least one of your teammates, I know that you have competed against in high school, and I believe one of them, not to bring up bad things, but may have beat you in the state tournament or state meet 1 year. But now your teammates, talk about that, just the opportunity to, you know, you went from competitors against each other, obviously pushing each other to do the best you can. Now your teammates at USD. What has that experience been like?
It's awesome. So Elena's been one of my closest friends here. We don't get to practice together as much as I'd like, but when we do, we definitely enjoy it. And we're always cheering for each other. And it's just a lot of positive encouragement. And we did the same thing in high school. We were competitors, but we were still kind of friends on the side. So I'm super glad to have her here. And I'd much rather be jumping with her instead of against her.
You got now a little bit of time off, and I believe USD Invitational's coming up about the second or third week of January. What do you hope to accomplish in the rest of the track season this year as we roll into 2021?
You know, I'm really hoping to just keep improving, and if I can hit that 6 feet mark, I'd be thrilled. And I think it's just a matter of time, so I'm hoping I can at least get another try at it and keep going up from there.
Well, Carly, it's been a great conversation. Very much appreciate your time. Wish you all the best as you continue to go throughout your track career at USD. And just remind you, keep the grades up and stay out of trouble and get yourself into med school, all right?
Yes, thank you for having me.
That's Carly Herring. Conversation with her, the sophomore high jumper from Mitchell, South Dakota. Great conversation, and obviously someone with a lot of big goals, both athletically, academically, and in life. Always fun to share those conversations and stories. Okay, Yotes fans, let's bank some noise. First Dakota National Bank is here to help you reach all your financial goals. Bank some noise with First Dakota at firstdakota.com. Member FDIC. Well, this week was early signing day for football, and the South Dakota football team brought in a handful of guys. 16 total joined the program, 13 signed national letters of intent. Three others accepted a offer of admissions at USD and plan to join the football program. You can hear a conversation with Coach Bob Nielsen about how all of it came together and some thoughts on this year's class on our Coyote Football Signing Day show. It is now available on the Yotecast podcast platform. So as you listen to this, it should be right there in the scroll. You'll be able to find it, click it, and give that a listen as well. The future of Coyote football has signed on. Still could be more, of course, but a number of them have signed on, and we look forward to seeing them at USD. Coming up in Coyote Athletics this weekend, of course, we've got Coyote basketball. It's a Friday night affair with the Drake Bulldogs. And then on Sunday, Coyote men are back at home to host Mount Marty University. That's at 4 o'clock. And the Coyote women's basketball team is on the road on Sunday to take on Oklahoma down in Norman, Oklahoma. So we'll look forward to seeing how that game goes for the USD women's basketball team. And then, of course, we'll take a little break with the holidays, and we'll be back at home for Summit League basketball January 2nd and 3rd. We'll open up conference play with Denver University. Hope to see you at a game very, very soon. If not, follow along, whether it's on TV, watching online, or listening on the Coyote Sports Network. We would love to have you for all of the games all season long. That is going to do it for us this week. I hope you have a great time with your family over the holidays. Do whatever you can to spread that Christmas joy and just get those smiles back that we kind of have faded a little bit during the pandemic. And we'll look forward to seeing you and talking to you very, very soon. I'm John Thayer. That's it for me. Thanks so much for your time. It's been great to provide you another episode here on Yotecast. We'll do it again very, very soon. Stay safe and go Yotes!